And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my vacationing non-tan co-host, Joe DeLeon. How do you go on vacation and not get a tan?
Okay. First of all, very poorly timed vacation. It rained the first 2 days
that we were there.
We went to the beach. You showed up, and the day before, we were looking at the weather forecast and a lot of rain. And then the 2 days we were there, you know that my pasty ass was loading up on sunscreen.
I bet you were.
I couldn't trust myself without putting on like four different layers. So that's why I'm not sunburned. That's why I'm not tan. I do not tan. I fry. But like, I'm excited. I am excited today because we get to talk about the Monster Energy Big 12. That's the only way that we can refer to that going forward. That is,
yes, it is no longer the big, it's no longer the Big 12. It is the monster that is presented by the Big 12. We will get into
the Monster Energy Big 12. You got to learn the full biblical name, Blake.
I'm not calling them that. Now, we will get into it. Now, I was saying this a lot this week on AYS when you left me and had me out to dry. This was probably one of the worst media days that I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible. I don't think I've ever seen a media day be so unorganized and so god-awful in my life. It is insane. The bottom line here, we will get into it. We will get into the Big 12 media days. James Franklin, Joe, what is he doing? What is James Franklin doing? Still going after Penn State. He says he's learned a lot of things since getting fired. Have you? Because in the article, I don't know if you really show that. So now he's going after Penn State. Media doesn't treat him like Lane Kiffin. That's neither here nor there. So we will talk about that as well. But we do got to start off with this Ward Manuel news that's coming out of Michigan. It's being reported by multiple outlets. I forget the gentleman who broke the news first, so forgive me for that. But Ward Manuel is under an investigation by the school in reference to the Sharon Moore situation, Joe. His current status moving forward as the athletic director of the University of Michigan is kind of up in flux. With everything going on at the University of Michigan and everything that's going on, whether it's John Harbaugh, Sharon Moore, Dusty May leaving, what are your thoughts right now on this internal investigation going on with Ward Manuel?
Yeah, it was Justin Spiro who had initially reported this, and Dan Wetzel and Ross Dellinger, shout out to the College Football Inquirer, they both reported on this today. There is likely going to be a conclusion to the independent investigation into the culture of the athletics department that is going to be coming out publicly on Thursday. And it appears, based on a lot of loose speculation, that there is going to be some sort of a buyout that is negotiated in order for this thing to be cut off and finished instead of having to pay him the 36 months of pay for him to not be employed by the University of Michigan. Like, it's really crazy how everything turned out, because if you looked back before the sign stealing scandal, well, there were some issues that were popping up. Every athletic department has problems. It looked like Ward Manuel was building one of the best athletic departments in college athletics. And a lot of times it feels like a lot of those things are too good to be true. Most of these problems came from the football program, the sign stealing scandal, the Matt Weiss computer hacking scandal, which is egregious and arguably worse than the sign stealing scandal. Actually, not arguably, it is worse. Why did I even say arguably? It is worse. The recruiting COVID violations, Juwan Howard being a mess of a coach, multiple drunk driving incidents with Greg Scruggs and Denard Robinson, Sharon Moore and everything that went down with that. And then I feel like the nail in the coffin was having lost John Beilein and then losing Dusty May. With all these problems that are going down, that Dusty May, after winning one national championship, he's a young coach. There are plenty of coaches in football that we talk about all the time that get NFL interest that choose to stick around. Kirby's had the NFL sniff around him plenty of times, and he hasn't even considered leaving for the NFL. Dusty May dips, and this program this basketball program that was representative of the university is one of the best things that they had going on after their football national championship. They're starting over from scratch with terrible timing and having to promote an assistant. Like, I feel like that we might be on a path for Michigan athletics to struggle for the next few years. I don't think that that is ridiculous to say. I think that for what just happened with the basketball team, what has happened for the football program, there could be a couple of bumpy years until they figure out who's going to be their next AD.
So let's start off here. Okay. I want to start off by clarifying something that you and I have had a discussion on for quite some time, okay? About, well, definitely over a year ago, okay? You and I had a conversation in reference to the investigation under Sharon Moore, Harbaugh, Connor Stallions, that the NCAA and the Big Ten should have opened and an internal or an investigation in reference to a lack of institutional control. Why are you doing an investigation on Ward Manuel now? How many times under an athletic director, whether it's Connor Stallions, whether it's John Harbaugh, whether it's Sharon Moore, that you got to say that the guy that is up top in Ward Manuel is not running the institution the way that it needs to be run? How many times? So when I look at this, Joe, they got a slap on the wrist for the Harbaugh investigation and situation with Connor Stallions. The Matt Weiss, correct me if I'm wrong, right? It was the Matt Weiss computer investigation scandal that's still not completely over with. That alone, with those two incidents, should have opened up a case of lack of institutional control. It didn't. Here's my total question after everything you read off and all of the conversations that you and I've had. When is enough going to be enough? When is enough going to be enough and somebody step in? Here's what I'm calling for now. Tony Petitti, it's time to make a statement. It's time to make a statement. Because, Joe, I am sorry. You can say whatever you want, but how many more instances do we got to go through at the University of Michigan? Now an athletic director is being investigated for the Big Ten saying, hey, you know what? You know what? The NCAA might not be able to do anything, but the Big 12, who we're going to talk about in just a moment, there's one good thing that the Big 12 did in this entire process during this offseason. They sued a member inside their own conference. They sued him. At some point, these conferences are going to have to start taking hold and grabbing it by the gojones and saying, you can't just do whatever you want. Joe, this isn't NIL related. This isn't portal related. This isn't on the field, the diamond, the court related. This is cover-up related. Ward Manuel knew. You know how I know? Because the young lady told him. That literally came out in an affidavit criminally in court. You know why Ward Manuel is being investigated? Did you see the court documents? Go back and look at the court documents and look at the testimony by the prosecution of Sharon Moore. He knew, Joe. And because they were winning, nothing came of it. Then when they needed to move on, all of a sudden, yeah, here comes Sharon Moore. And then here's a whole nother thing. If my son would have been committed and had signed to the University of Michigan, and then you waited to fire this Rudy Pooh after the fact, okay, that my son signed with your university, I'm going to sue you because you covered this up. That's my son you're talking about. So the bottom line remains here, Joe. At what point does Tony Petitti, regardless if it's a blue blood Michigan or not, step in and say, guys, I'm sorry, but something's got to come of this. You can't keep running rub shop. And bottom line for me here too is, and I just got to be real with you, I don't want to hear about a fine anymore. I don't want to hear about a steep fine of money. I don't want to hear about, well, it's going to be a lot of money that they, I don't want to hear it. They have got to start facing penalties for a lack of institutional control that has started from the top. And quite honestly, Joe, very much looks like, let's talk about allegedly looks like, so we don't get sued, that it was a cover up from the start.
So the investigation that we're talking about here was initiated immediately after, for those who might have forgotten, it was initiated immediately after the Sherrone Moore situation, all of it that went down. It was announced on December 13th in 2025. And I do think that you bring up a good point. I know that you and I have kind of gone at one another over the severity of specifically the sign stealing scandal. I've never defended anything else. The sign stealing stuff was a completely different discussion. But the problem is that if we encompass everything, we put it all into one file in one conversation, yes, this is a lack of institutional control. I am curious as to what Michigan is going to make public. I think that it would be in their best interest, being a public university, that they would make all of it public, but I don't think that that is going to happen. Like, I think that the Michigan's only step forward here, and the only way for them to get through this unscathed, is for them to self-impose some sort of penalties. If any Michigan fan wants to act like that is some sort of an overreach, some sort of ridiculous take to have, that they need to self-impose penalties, if they don't, I feel like the NCAA would be obligated to do so. The problem and the thing that sucks, one of the mechanisms about the NCAA that I hate.
Do you think the Big Ten should intervene?
They're not going to.
That's not what I
go to really. No, but they're not. I think that they should. I think that at the end of the day, the NCAA should be the one responsible for handling
fair.
And I don't think that that Michigan would have any ground to defend itself effectively, especially if they did their own internal investigation, if they have all this information and they know everything that went down. What I was going to say, though, is one of the worst parts about the NCAA is that their policy does not allow for them to publicly comment on if they're investigating or what is going on with an investigation. That's why we haven't really heard anything outside of comments from Charlie Baker in reaction to the lawsuit with Brandon Sorsby. There's a reason why you don't really hear much with any of these things that have gone down. But Blake, at the end of the day, for all these things, I only named like, what was it? Eight things.
Yeah.
Eight things that were actual scandals, minus, you know, the coaching situations with the basketball program. If you remove those, I named seven or so scandals. That isn't even the full tip of the iceberg. When I was doing my notes and putting together all the things that went down, it was a long laundry list of things that have transpired under Ward Manuel. A lot of big things, some small things that didn't get the same sort of reporting and discussion. Like, one thing that you've said before, and I got to give you a lot of credit for here, we give Kirby Smart and we give Georgia a really hard time about the driving incident stuff. And I think a lot of that gets completely overblown because it gets reported upon at the nth degree, a ridiculous high degree, because it is an ongoing story that constantly feeds controversy and speculation and people wanting to talk about it. Why have we not treated Michigan the same way that we treat Georgia? Why do we not talk about Michigan the same way that we talk about Kirby Smart? I think that there needs to be a broader discourse about whatever comes out with this. We'll probably talk about it on Sunday of next week. I would love to know if there's any new info that we don't know.
So to your point, everybody likes to talk about Kirby and their program for something that also is, it's not great. Okay, let's just rip the band. It's not great what goes on there. It's not great. No. However, you're talking about 18 to 21-year-old men who are full of testosterone, who are driving a car too fast. Idiots. I was 21 years old. I have a 21-year-old nephew, my sister's oldest son. Okay? Love him to death. An idiot.
I brought this up in the show. I had four driving incidents from the age of 18 to 22 for speeding.
Same.
Some of them were bad. Like,
same. I was going well over 20 miles an hour on an interstate. Same. It's where he caught me because I slowed down a lot. Bottom line is, to the point that you're overall making, Matt Weiss, okay?
It's the most egregious.
That's the most, well, you say that until the court stuff starts coming out with Sherrall Moore, and you're like, good God. Joe, look, I'll just say this. I've never really said this publicly. In law enforcement, by my knowledge, based off of what Sherrall Moore did in the incident, he's lucky everybody walked out of there. He is lucky, okay? So, again, I ask, at what point does Ward Manuel screw this internal investigation. Screw whatever you find, because Harbaugh, Weiss, and now Sherrall Moore, what else do you need? It's an institutional lack of control based off of that alone. Just based off of that alone. Like, Joe, everybody brings up as an example when we talk about these topics in the comments. Oh, Blake's an LSU guy. Didn't they do something with a children's hospital? Joe, they took $160,000 over 40 years from the children's hospital in a no-pay job. Do you want to know how much LSU repaid them over the last 9 years? Because you're getting close to the billions now. Hmm. You're getting close to the billions in research that LSU... Please, it's not the same. So you've already hit institutions with much worse situations than what's going on here. I got to be real with you. I'm tired of hearing that Michigan needs a slap on the wrist because they got very rich alumni. Just because an alumni of a university runs a massive media company and you got so many other people that back Michigan, whether it's financially or whatever, doesn't mean that they cannot receive penalty and don't deserve to receive penalty. Can I be another really honest with you? It seems like Dusty May fled because he knew the shit was coming down. I mean, I get that the Mavericks are a good run institution. They have a lot of money. You have Cooper Flagg. Like, I get all of that. The dude just won a natty and had a top class. And he left for a rebuild in the NBA. So you have all of this going on. My question is, when are you going to act? Now, Joe, can I be real with you? I think Brendan Sorsby, stay with me, did arguably on the field one of the more egregious acts that can happen. Betting on your own games. That I get he didn't play. We're not going down that rabbit hole right now. Okay.
Yeah.
However, how are you going to tell me as a human being, take sports out of it for just a moment. As a human being, how can you look at this entire Michigan situation and just being a decent human, a normal everyday human, and tell me everybody freaked out about the Brendan Sorsby thing, but justified and barely criticized the stuff going on at Michigan. This is a basic human principle that they are violating over and over again with no regard. Not only do I think that Ward Manuel needs to be fired and fined, I think that if you're asking me, even though he's from the great state of Louisiana, I think that he needs a show cause. I think he needs a decade worth long show cause. Give him the same penalties that you gave Harbaugh, and Michigan has got to receive some kind of massive penalties behind this. Joe, I'm going to throw this out there. You're going to hate it. I think they need a postseason ban. I think they need a – because at what point are we going to keep talking about cover-ups before money is not just the only solution that is going to cover this? Joe, we're – very quickly – We are realizing in court that they covered it up. This isn't opinion. This isn't like Blake saying, this is what's going on. So what now?
I can't get there with you. I'm trying to look up examples of penalties tied to lack of institutional control. I can't get there with putting a postseason ban on the athletic department. I can't fully get there. I think the scholarship reductions, I think that a monetary fine are the likely outcomes here. Like I've said this before, I think that once you start impacting athletes on the field and on the field in the future, part of an athletic department, you then open the door for litigation. I just think that it is in the NCAA's best interest that however you intend to handle this, you need to do it soon. I don't know if they're going to even do anything, but I don't like the concept of postseason bans, because when you implement that, it impacts players, and then players could do whatever the hell they want when it comes to suing the NCAA. Their best interest is hitting them where it hurts, in their pockets, limiting how much money that they can spend. Reducing scholarships is kind of useless these days because
you have 105 of them.
Well, but you're still able to find ways around. I mean, ask any kid who's, I had a teammate of mine who was a decent player who walked onto the Florida State football team. He transfers from Florida. He was a walk-on, a preferred walk-on, and his school was paid for because of NIL.
McClain, Joe. Let's go.
Yeah, Cormani McClain's another, that's another easy example. Yeah, you have these walk-ons that come in and you can cover their tuition through different means. So a scholarship reduction to me doesn't work. I know that based on what I quickly researched, there have been postseason bans, but I think a aggressive financial fine, they already distributed recruiting penalties for the COVID situation. So I don't know if anything else is going to happen here, but the show cause is the absolute number one thing. War Emanuel should not be allowed to work in college athletics for at least 10 years. Jeremy freaking Pruitt can't even get a job right now. And what he did, albeit it was kind of stupid in relation to how NIL works these days because he's handing out money in bags of McDonald's, but what he's doing is what's happening across the board right now. If you're going to hold Jeremy Pruitt that accountable, someone needs to hold Ward Manuel accountable. I'm going to tell you this, Blake, my last thought on this. If the NCAA does not, and they move slow, so I'll give them a year. If they do not bring down some sort of penalty or at least acknowledge that Michigan has their own self-imposed penalties, it will be the biggest misstep by the NCAA maybe in the last decade, longer than that. They want power. This is how they get it.
Here's my only problem with that. Here's my only problem with it. Okay? You're right. The NCAA should do something. At what point does the College Football Playoff Committee do something? So let's take the big M off for just a moment. Okay? Let's just say that I looked at you right now and said, Joe, I'm going to predict the future. There's going to be an institution that's playoff caliber worthy that is a massive brand. Their head coach is going to cheat and know about it. They're going to steal signs in a very egregious way. They are going to cheat from an aspect that federally could be investigated by hacking computers, and God knows what Matt Weiss was actually doing. This comes as a sexual nature. You have it. Then, number four, you have an inappropriate relationship with a head coach of your team because he had to go and be that head coach because your other head coach completely and utterly screwed up and fled you when everything got tough. Fled. And then all of a sudden that coach gets promoted, has an inappropriate relationship. Joe arms himself with a knife and holds people hostage. Joe, he held people hostage. Okay. So I don't believe that if I told you all of that and you did not know the university or institution, that you could look at that and tell me, at least for me, that a fine is enough, scholarship reductions are enough. I want a postseason ban because this is getting to a point where this is beyond control. This is beyond control. Joe, guns were drawn on Sharone Moore. He armed himself and kept people hostages. Like, this is not a joke. It wasn't a joke then. It's not a joke now. And now, what was Ross's piece? Please correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong here. I think they hired a law firm for like $10 or $11 million dollars to something. Okay, so $11 million to cover up things that you knew that you messed up on? That's a sign that Michigan at the top, the very top, might be just as corrupt as everybody else. So I think it's corrupt from the top down, and I think somebody's got to look into it. This is becoming very egregious. I know that we had some super chats here in reference to it. I mean, I don't know if you really wanted to get into any of that. Okay, we won't get to FBI. He says, preach, Blake, preach. That's why we call them scum. He also says, Ward, Harbaugh, Stallions were Michigan men.
Well, wait, Stallions was not. He went to the Naval Academy.
Well, he grew up a Michigan fan.
Yeah, but no, but you're not. You can't. The whole Michigan men thing is supposed to be you went to Michigan and all that stuff. And no, Stallions was not a Michigan man, technically.
No, he was not a Michigan man. He was not a Michigan man. But I think that they need to come down swiftly, and I guess we'll see what happens. I do think that this is a joke. All right, let's move forward here. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups by using the YouTube link on Facebook. Share to all your social media pages as well. Wherever you're watching us, subscribe down below on YouTube. Hit that notification bell as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. If you're watching us on Twitter, on the on 24/7's Twitter page, do us a favor and retweet as well. Speaking of our partners over at 24/7 Sports, guys, there's a lot of things coming out. I know I was covering a lot of the Major League Baseball draft that's just getting over with. A lot of things are flying on the board. Recruiting is still hot and heavy. Get over to 24/7 Sports today. Use the promo code RJ60 at checkout. You'll receive 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Again, go over to 24/7 Sports today. Let us know when you do by using that code RJ60 at checkout. All right, let's get moving here. Joe, the Big 12 Media Days was this past week. And as I said earlier, and I'll say again today, what a complete joke this seemed and came out to be. Brett Yarmark going after media members, et cetera, et cetera. But they also announced a massive deal. Per them, massive, a deal with Monster Energy. What are your thoughts about this Monster Energy deal with the Big 12? About $800,000 per team, about $8 million in total is where it's going to come out to, I believe.
No, it's $20 million total, $1 million per school. But that's still comically low. That's still comically low.
So the press release said $800,000 per team. So it was $1 million?
The articles that I read and the one that I sent
Let's
you
just from go with a million. All right. So $1 million per team per year, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
What are your thoughts on the comically low? Because what comes with it too is patches, logos, much more. I mean, there's a lot that comes with it. So what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, it's full presenting sponsor. It is, I was joking at the top of the show, and there is a jovial part of this. It's the Monster Energy Big 12. And it even goes as far as Monster Energy Big 12 football and Monster Energy Big 12 college basketball, or just basketball, I think is what it was coined as. As funny as it is and as kind of goofy as it sounds, holy hell is this embarrassing. I don't know why more people weren't like really talking about this. Now, plenty of people were taking jabs. I don't think that this got the national exposure that it would for other conferences. Because, Blake, at the end of the day, the Big 12 just does not garner the amount of attention that it really could. And the reason why it can't is because Brett Yarmark, he has not taken this conference to the next level. There was a time where I really thought that Yarmark was forward-thinking. I thought that he was creative in his approach to various aspects with controlling the conference. And he also was really aggressive during conference realignment that set up this conference to maybe pass the ACC. But they haven't. Per Front Office Sports article, they had $610.9 million in revenue in 2025. The ACC surpassed them with $826.5 million. But they could close that deficit, Blake, with the $20 million a year that they're getting. Oh, look at that. They could close that gigantic $200 million gap with this measly deal. It was also reported on Front Office Sports, though, Blake. This is where this whole thing gets really ridiculous. The $1 million per school is apparently significantly less than what these schools would be able to garner on their own on the open market. Multiple people believe that these schools are worth, for branding and patches and all those things that are a part of this deal, multiple millions of dollars per year, not just one measly million dollar that doesn't really get you very much in today's modern sports environment. Blake, he has completely failed the Big 12, and this is the best example of it. He had an opportunity with jersey patches being available to sell the first big deal. But the reason why that this was a complete mess up is that they were first to the jump. He didn't know what he was doing. He has completely screwed every school in the Big 12 because this is now the starting price. The price is now lower than it would have been if these schools were allowed to go to market and do it themselves. Blake, at the end of the day, everybody wants to talk about pooling of media rights. This is the step that I'm taking it further from this, my final point here. This is why you can't trust decision makers to collectively bargain and negotiate media rights deals in any facet, because everybody thinks that they know what they're doing and they clearly don't. I think that this is another example that we cannot trust that combining everything together works, because this is a ridiculous example.
All right. What? Do you know that friend that you have that always brags about something and is like, man, I just did this. Mm-hmm. And your whole friend group is like, bro, we've been there. We've done that. Like, what are you talking about? So the Big 12 runs out with this monster energy deal. And I don't think that they understand how bad of a look that this is. Let me explain. Who was the first team, Joe, to come out with that jersey patch thing? Because I know who it was.
Arkansas or Tennessee?
No.
No, it was LSU.
It's LSU. $1 million per team, or $7 to $8 million for one team. You know, when this got announced, my thought was, does this also signify the large, massive gap between the SEC? And I'm going to throw the Big Ten in there, because let's not act like Ohio State couldn't do that same exact thing. Is that not a show how far the conferences are apart? You bring up the best point. The Big 12 wants these media rights deals to come together. LSU just sold one for seven times what you just sold for one of your teams. And by the way, you did it for a group. You did it for a group. So how much more money was given to these teams? Like, I like Deion, and we're going to talk about Deion in the Big 12 media days. Colorado's not worth that level of money for a jersey patch. They don't get the viewership like that. Not really. Joe, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC had 24 of the top 25 most watched games. Mm-hmm. So you and I are in the views business. Why in the world would we, and by the way, we've been breaking down Big 12 teams for the last, let's just say, 2 weeks. Our views aren't the same with those teams as they are with the Big Ten and the SEC. Yeah. My thought on this was, you just confirmed to the world, you just showed and gave Greg Sankey and Tony Battiti the biggest ammunition that they could have ever used by saying, look at LSU. LSU did a one-time deal for 1 year that was seven times per one team than what all of those other teams in the Big 12 got. Well, Blake, that's one team. Well, you have Alabama, you have Georgia, you have Florida, you have Texas, you have Texas A&M. What would that deal have been if the SEC did it? What would that deal have been if you had, for the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Washington, Penn State? What would that deal have been for them? See, Joe, when this got announced, I was thinking, you just proved to the world that the media rights can never take place. You can't combine these media rights. You can't do that because you are literally showing how massive of a gap it is. And Greg Sankey is doing, what was that guy on TikTok, you know, the tall, skinny guy who always did this?
Yeah, after every, yeah, I forget his name. Yeah.
That was my first, like, the first thing that popped in my head was that guy. You just showed and puffed out your chest for something that makes you look so bad. So bad. And then he bragged about it. He bragged about it and then was brash and then was rude to the media. When the media asked him, why did you sue Texas Tech? Why? So wait a minute. We've had a tradition for over 100 years with tortillas. Over 100 years. And you took that away. And then you sued for a kid that had never even stepped on the field yet. And then he made the dude stand up. He goes, stand up when you're talking to me. This week, with the Monster Energy deal alone, but then how they acted about it and bragged about it and thought that it was a big deal, Joe, is a complete joke. And let me tell you what's going to come of this. If you think in 2 weeks that Greg Sankey's not going to walk out there to SEC Media Days and poke fun at the Big 12 over this deal, you're damn you're a damn fool. You just proved to the world. You just gave the ammunition, by the way, for the Protect College Sports Act not to pass. Because I don't know if you saw this while you were gone. You had Auburn, Alabama, and multiple teams going after legislatures and senators begging for them not to vote for the Protect College Sports Act. You had multiple teams in the Big 12 or Big 10 advocate for this not to pass. You mean to tell me that they're not going to send this to every senator in the country and say, see how massive of a gap this is? There's a $7 to $10 million gap here. And you want us to pool our rights with those guys so they get more money? Or is this a joke? Joe, this is a joke. And then for him to boast about it, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, that is, I felt, you know, this is how I start off the AYS show. Very last thing. I started off an AYS show on Thursday saying, coming out of Big 12 Media Days, I felt like that I was in the episode of The Office and every single scene was an awkward Michael Scott scene. Right? Because that's the vibes that he gives me. He thinks that he's cool, and yet he's not.
I think that the other part with this, we're aligned on the aspect of this is evidence that not only is it misguided to believe that you can negotiate at this gigantic scale broadcasting rights, you also cannot package the Big 12 with the SEC and the Big 10, because the gap is so huge, there is not going to be a reasonable way to work that out. It's just not going to work. But I mean, Blake, we're in a period of time right now where the commissioners are the most outspoken entities when it comes to changing the sport. So it's the media rights stuff. It is conference realignment, NIL, transfer portal, the Protect College Sports Act, all this, everything that we yell about on this show during the offseason, and particularly college football playoff expansion. Man, if I'm Tony Petitti, this is a little bit of a kind of a long-winded thought here. If I'm Tony Petitti, I'm real pissed about this whole thing, because he also spoke up during the week about college football playoff expansion to 24 teams.
Of course
teams.
He did. Of course
so
he did.
How are you, if you're Petitti and you're trying to push this and the expansion of the playoff, and you're saying, well, we've got the backing of everybody else, we got the backing of the Big 12. Well, one of the guys who's one of your most vocal supporters just showed that he has no idea what he's doing.
Zero.
I don't know. This is just insane to me. I found it, the one thing, my other last bit with this, you and I know we talk to a lot of people across the industry that are hosts, that are decision makers, just a lot of people that we know across the industry. And it's hilarious to have heard from those people deals that they negotiated for, like, presenting sponsors or for even just singular ad reads in a podcast or a TV show. And we, you and I both know instances that they got more than $1 million. That is what's the craziest part about all this. To, like, put it in perspective, when I saw the graphic and the breakdown of how much it was worth, all I was thinking to myself, didn't someone just tell me that they got more than that for a different deal? I'm just dumbfounded by all of this. The lack of understanding of value.
McAfee. Okay. Think about this. Gave 20 employees a book sack with $250,000 a piece in every single one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, he gave a book sack to 20 employees, and he's a singular person. They're only given $1 million per year for a patch on a logo during football for the actual games being played. Now, your mark came out, and in his defense was that, well, considering the other conferences, we're only 30 years old. Huh? No, you're not a great conference. Joe, they talked about the playoff expansion. They talked about five teams would have been in a 2014 playoff, and not a damn one of you would have won. Mm. Not a damn one of you. How in the good wide world do you have a situation where they had any power say whatsoever? You are being shown right in front of you with literal media rights deals where the pecking order stops and where it starts. You're seeing it. This isn't something that we're coming up with. $1 million per team? It's a joke. Now, in reference to some of the other things that happened in Big 12 media days that I would kind of just react to, what is Deion doing? That's number one, saying that we've already turned Colorado around. Brother, you had a losing season last year. No, you have not. You're paid as a top five, top 10 head coach in the country. No, you're not. If you're going to get paid like it, you better start acting like it. That's number one. But number two, Joe, this whole thing with Texas Tech, they sat down at a steakhouse with Texas Tech front office people and the Big 12 to kind of ease over things. Now, I kind of respect them for that. Mm-hmm. To an extent. It's like me and you, or you and your brother, or me and my brother getting in a fight over a girl, and we're just saying, we're not going to do that. Brendan Sorsby is not something that Texas Tech should be so mad at the Big 12 over to where they just completely wreck shop. They shouldn't. Brendan Sorsby's not important enough. He's never played a snap for you. But it's just every single time that Euromark or the Big 12 does something, it comes off as awkward, it comes off as out of place, and it comes out as, look at me, I'm puffing out my chest, and nothing really is from it. Like Deion talking about that we're one of the biggest brands in the country. No, you're not. No, you are not remotely close to being one of the biggest brands. Right? Quite honestly, when you started losing, no one talked about you.
Mm-mm. No, to focus on the Texas Tech Sorsby stuff, because you bring up what was obviously a really important aspect of everything that happened last week. Joey McGuire was forthcoming about it. You brought up the whole dinner that they did at the local steakhouse. And, you know, to your point, it's in the best interest of them to smooth things over, because Texas Tech has the greatest opportunity to become the powerhouse of the conference. We have discussed that they're probably not going to be able to jump to a different conference unless they created their own conference. It's not going to happen. It's like what you just said. I think the best example is, like, if you get into a fight with your brothers, as pissed as you are going to be at one another, at some point you have to smooth it over because you're just stuck with one another. There's no point in hating one another because it's still who you're connected to. You can't just leave and go to another family. There's no other family that's going to take you. It's just not going to happen.
This isn't the five families of New York. You can't just leave your family.
The thing that bothered me, and to continue I got that reference. The thing that bothered me the most about Yormark, and to continue to pile on to him, I am very, very bothered by the fact that he would not address this. He was asked about it. He said that he appreciates the question, but he was not going to discuss it. And I feel like that more than this stupid Monster Energy thing was his biggest misstep and his biggest failure. We credited him for what he did by suing Texas Tech. That was the move that he made that we believed was aggressive, and it was the correct one. He had good lawyers, good decision makers around him. How are you going to, after everything that happened, all of it? It was the biggest story in sports, not just college athletics. It transcended everything. How do you not have at least a statement prepared? I understand that his approach was probably along the lines of, look, we're trying to smooth things over. Everybody's here right now. We're trying to be on good terms. We're trying to work this all out. We don't want to continue to turn this into something else and to build headlines from it. And I think that that is a massive mistake.
I agree.
There was a way to talk about this in a way that would not have created headlines, because you created a headline by not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. I do not like the direction that Brent Yormark is taking this conference, because they have had, to his point, you know, he said that they're a mature startup, that they're, you know, they're building up. They had an opportunity when conference realignment happened to compete at the top of the sport if they were really aggressive enough. And they've got a really good basketball conference. And it feels like that they have failed across the board.
That's not the worst part of this Sorsby thing. Thinking that a Texas Tech media member wouldn't be there, and people clowning the media member. He's not wrong. I mean, Joe, you talked about, you said earlier that we talk to people around the industry. There have been multiple times coming on this show, before this show was live on air, of me, us having phone calls with people, and stuff that we are told not even remotely coming close to seeing the light of day until it was time to be for it to be seen into the light of day. You mean to tell me that the media member for Texas Tech is wrong about the tortillas? It's a tradition. He's basically like, hey, man, you keep coming after Texas Tech. And then to walk over and say, stand up when you're talking to me. What, brother? Joe, can we be all right? Hold on. If you were out in a bar and a dude did that, what would you do?
I mean, I'd be pissed. It's a demeaning way to respond to somebody.
It's a demeaning way to respond to somebody. I'm not saying fists would have been thrown, but that was unprofessional, because he's an unprofessional human being. But I look at this situation and say, number one, to your point, how did you not know? Saying no comment is just as worse as you've been saying for months. Saying no comment is just as worse as saying nothing or saying something to talk about it. How easy would it have been for you to say, listen, Brendan Sorsby has moved on. He is not in the conference of the Big 12 anymore. We are going to move forward and work with Texas Tech and put this situation behind us. And quite honestly, we do not want to talk about it ever again. Meanwhile, he says nothing while Cincinnati is now having an inquiry and investigation on them. He says nothing. This dude, this is becoming god-awful. And I got to be real with you. Why haven't you gone after Cincinnati? You went after Texas Tech. So just so we're clear, on the media member who asked Brett Yormark questions, you mean to tell me that you are going to penalize Texas Tech for a young man that never played a snap for our team and institution. Meanwhile, he was doing this at Cincinnati, and you haven't going to open up investigation on Cincinnati, and you haven't sued them either. Joe, they got a point. They have a point. Here was the truth. He got boxed into a corner. He didn't know what to say and fled and made it awkward in the process. Where was that media member wrong? I'm going to wait.
It was funny, but you're right. He had a, it almost wasn't even a question. It was an instigation.
It was an instigation.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing. But is he wrong?
No.
The question basically was, how are you going to sue Texas Tech but while doing nothing to Cincinnati where these things happened?
Well, and I think that the worst part about all of this, there's none of this that isn't public. This has been the most publicly covered event of the offseason. You are the decision maker, the face of the conference.
Didn't have anything to say. Oklahoma and Kansas attorney generals to have your back.
I don't understand. And you brought up Cincinnati. I forgot to bring up Cincinnati in this because there is the inquiry of investigation, which doesn't mean that anything happened. It just means that the NCAA has now pivoted and they're doing their investigation on if Cincinnati knew and they wrongfully played him when they should not have. If they did know that he was gambling when he was, how do you not have something prepared to talk about all of it? And instead, there is rampant discussion and speculation coming from Big 12 media days from media members that are there. I think that all this screams that your Mark does not know how to handle a lot of these broad-ranging problems. And I thought that he did. I thought that the suing of the of Texas Tech was a really smart move, but clearly that was the input of a lawyer and rather than his own idea.
But you know what he could have easily done? He could have made a statement in the very beginning in his opening statement and opening monologue and said, we are closely working with Texas Tech and Cincinnati to come down to a decision on all of these situations. We will be taking no further questions at this time. As you know, as this process continues to go on, if you ask me a question about it, as if things are being investigated right now, we will not talk about it during an investigation. He could have lied and said, we cannot openly talk about it while an investigation is underway. What could you say?
I kind of feel like he owes us more than that.
Oh, he owes
everything that happened.
Well, I would have come to your conclusion too that he owes us more, but I would have understood if he would have said because the NCAA is looking into Cincinnati, we cannot speak about this at the current moment. I would have understood it. I would have completely understood it. But to your point, he just keeps doing these things, and we got to stop taking them, Joe. We got to stop taking them seriously. Like, we got to stop taking this seriously. What has the Big 12 done to impact sports? They have legitimately come out and said, we need to pull rights because we need more money. They're asking for a lifeline. They signed over their rights for the college football playoff expansion. And now they're coming out using a mega booster to lobby the president of the United States to benefit them. They've done nothing this entire offseason, but create more chaos after more chaos after more chaos. And quite honestly, I'm done with it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to moving on and talking about the next conference. Hopefully Jim Phillips doesn't, I'm sure something stupid's going to happen this week.
I'm sure
Florida State or Clemson or someone's going to do something. I can't wait.
You know what my first wait. Question, you know what my first question Jim Phillips would be?
What?
Have you or do you plan on opening an investigation on the Miami Hurricanes?
On the Darian Mensa stuff?
On the Mensa stuff. I mean, Joe.
The answer to that's going to be no.
It's going to be no. And we all know it's going to be no. But at what point, again, to the part of Tony Petitti, Joe, these conference commissioners are not taking action on the stuff that they go to a podium and complain about every single day. You complain about it and do nothing because they don't want to. Why would they? No. All right. Before we get out of here, Joe, James Franklin had some interesting words about his former school in Penn State. When asked, and I'm going to abbreviate this just a little. You can expand on it more if you want to. But he was asked a series of questions. He was asked if he thought that he had learned anything from him being fired at Penn State. The former AD of Virginia Tech and Whit Babcock also says, you want to go to a place where you're celebrated and not tolerated. Both the former AD of Virginia Tech and James Franklin are taking shots at Penn State in multiple situations. Basically, in a nutshell, Franklin's coming out and saying, man, I almost was a game away from going to the national title, and then six games into my season, I got fired. I didn't even have a chance to correct it. What are your thoughts on James Franklin having these comments towards Penn State when you only got less than a month before your camp is going to start under your new team?
And I believe he said when he was on with Adam Brenneman that he kind of talked about how he felt like he deserved a little bit more of a cushion with,
right?
Yeah, a little more grace with how he had performed and how long he had been at Penn State. The quote essentially that he said to Ralph Russo is that he regrets not leaving on his own terms,
right?
Which is, I mean, how many of your buddies do you know that their girlfriend broke up with them? Their girlfriend the person they were dating broke up with them. They didn't break up with the girl. It was the other way around. And then they went around telling everybody, man, I wish I cheated on her. I did whatever. Everybody knows that one dude who talks that big game where it's like, all right, man. And he expounded on that by saying that he turned down a lot of opportunities. Every time that there was a big job open, the first coach that was brought up was James Franklin. USC, LSU, Florida, he was discussed at the beginning of the year before Napier was even fired. Every time that there was a big job opening, James Franklin's name appeared, and he would get an extension. I think that there's two sides to this. I do think that there's some truth to that. I do think that there's some times where in sports, coaches end up sticking around for too long. If you haven't won a national title and you've been there for over 10 years, at a certain point, and if you have that aspiration and you're in a program that has those aspirations, you need to turn the page. You need to take the new opportunity. You just need to do it. That's why I wasn't pissed off when Ryan Kelly left, because it was clear that the ceiling had been hit and he needed to try something different at a different school. John Calipari just did it with a little bit different, but just did it with Arkansas and with Kentucky. I think that there's truth to that. And I think that what Whit Babcock had said is also true, that it felt like at the very end, Penn State was kind of tolerating him and he was not being celebrated and recognized as being the best coach for them and helping them be successful coming out of what was one of the biggest scandals in the history of college athletics. But Blake, if you recall going into the Orange Bowl against Notre Dame, the biggest thing that I would argue that killed Penn State was all the talking that James Franklin did while Marcus Freeman just sat there and he listened. He let James Franklin go on and on, and to a degree demean Marcus Freeman to the point where Marcus Freeman was pissed. Gave Notre Dame a little bit of extra motivation. Notre Dame wins the game. Like, I feel like Franklin is doing a lot of the same things that I criticized Dabo for, which is talking when you don't need to. And I'm not saying, you know, shut up and dribble. I'm not trying to do that whole bit that people get upset over. We all agreed with you, James. We all agreed with you that you were given the short end of the stick and you were screwed over. I don't think that this needed to be said when everybody realized and recognized that you had chances to leave. Mm-hmm. I feel like that this was a major mistake because so much positive has been said about Virginia Tech. And now I feel like we're wasting our time talking about the fact that he took a shot that was not necessary.
He said two things in here that I find absolutely bombastic. I needed more time. Now, I do agree it is wild to fire a dude 6 games after he got to a Final Four. That it, regardless of what you say, regardless of what you think about him, that is insane. However, Joe, he was 4-21 versus top 10 teams. You had a lot of chances. He was 17-36 at Penn State versus top 25 opponents. You had a lot of chances. You never could win the big game. At least Brian Kelly, to some degree, on his resume, beat Nick in Alabama, beat Clemson, that won an ACC champion, and got to multiple Final Fours. I think that's fair. Like, I think that that's very fair for him, even though people don't like BK. Okay, well, you went 4-21. So you can't say you wanted to leave on your own terms. You did leave on your own terms. Because if your own terms were saying that you thought that you were an elite program, you weren't acting like an elite program. 4-21, Joe, versus top 10 teams is egregious. He also said that he learned a lot from being fired. And yet, in the very next sentence, he says, and I quote, "I'm not going to just change every single little thing that we're doing under the sun. There was a lot of things that we implemented that worked." Where I agree with him here, there, can you show some humility? Joe, he was on, if you remember, College Game Day the weekend after he got fired. The weekend after, which I don't necessarily blame him for wanting to be in coaching and doing what he did. But Penn State didn't do anything to you. You led a program that is a blue blood, and you could not overcome the situations in the hands that you were dealt. Like, he couldn't overcome it. Joe, every time he faced a massive opponent, and even in his Final Four run, I would have loved to go up against Boise State. Who was the second team that they went up against that year, Joe? It was Boise State, and then it was, SMU. It's not like you played tough teams to get there, because you didn't play tough teams to get there. And then when you played Notre Dame, quite honestly, an injured Notre Dame walked you down. Like a boxer in a fight, they walked you down. And there was nothing you could do about it. I hope James the best. I hope that he has success at Virginia Tech. But it just it bothers me when coaches look at this and sometimes put off the vibe that it wasn't anything to do with them. Because it was everything to do with you.
Well, I think that's why, look, we can always make the analogy a million times over with college coaches and with relationships, marriages, all that crap. We can do the bit 10 times over because it's unlike anything else in sports because they're so long most of the time. If there's a breakup, if there is a divorce or something after a long period of time, it's both sides. I think that the lack of ownership, he can say whatever he wants now because he got a new job. He never was not going to get a new job. I think the lack of ownership's a little annoying. I was on his side. We did the Virginia Tech preview and I was all juiced up. And then this quote kind of makes me roll my eyes after all the excitement that we had for expectations for the upcoming year.
You brought up Brian Kelly earlier. Uh-huh. He went on with CBS and said, "Yeah, I got fired at LSU because I didn't win enough games. That's on me." Mm-hmm. Nobody takes that quote and says, "Oh, good for Brian Kelly." They keep clowning him. James over here, by the way, is basically saying it wasn't all on me. That's basically what he's saying, Joe, right? Like, he's not... Joe, he went in an article in a sit down article format and said, "Yeah, I'm not going to really change anything. It wasn't me. It was Penn State." Okay. And then the last thing I'd say with this, the AD, you want to go somewhere that you're celebrated and not tolerated. Well, you know why he was tolerated? Because they were tired of going up against Ohio State, Michigan, Washington, Oregon and losing. They tolerated him for a decade. They could never get over the hump. That's not toleration. That's literally looking at the situation and saying, hey, we think that we could be better without you, so let's try it. Now, let me just say this. The only thing I will defend him on, James Franklin for Matt Campbell, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be
the truth.
So it is what it is. Alex with a $2 super chat says, are we doing a members only Yahoo College Football Fantasy? We're a CBS entity, Alex.
I don't think CBS has college fantasy. In all seriousness, Alex, if you set this up, I'm down to do it. I don't think it's a good idea.
It'd be fun. Yeah. Here's the crazy thing though. I haven't played a fantasy football thing in probably 5 years.
I get that. I think it'd be fun. I think it could be fun for us to do with for like a members only thing. Elks, if you set it up, and if you, I will let you be the commissioner. You so badly want me to make you a mod in the Discord and all that stuff. I'm probably not going to do that. But I will, if you set up the league, I will let you be the commissioner because Blake and I don't have time to be the commissioner. But I'll do it. It sounds like fun.
How about this? Elks can't pick any Ohio State players.
That could be a fun stipulation. You can't pick a player for a team that you root for. That could be.
I'm picking all Ohio State and Notre Dame players.
Okay.
Because you're going to be rooting for your team, but then you're going to hope that I win.
I just won't root that hard for the
fantasy. You're a line sack of crap. We'll see y'all again tomorrow. Y'all have a good night. Peace.